Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Relationship Pod. I'm your host, Sarah Boutros, and for those of you who are new here, I'm a relationship coach who helps men and women heal their insecure attachment styles and build more secure relationships. Today, I'm joined by the Secure Methods in-house psychotherapist, Reshma, to unpack one of the most overused and misunderstood concepts in modern dating, the red flag. Welcome, Reshma.
Hello, thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. We're going to be diving into how the red flag, what used to be a powerful tool for identifying unsafe behavior, has now become a catch-all term for anything that makes us slightly uncomfortable. A slow reply, red flag. Being introverted, red flag. But here's the thing, relationships aren't black and white, and not everything is dangerous. In this episode, we break down the difference between red, beige, and green flags. We'll also be exploring how your nervous system, attachment style, and even social media might be distorting the way you read other people, including yourself. So, Reshma, curious to hear your opinion on what do people actually mean when they're referring to a red flag, and how do you feel like this term is being massively overused these days?
So I think it's really interesting if we look at where the term first came from. So I think around 2020, it was mainly like popping up a lot on TikTok and on Twitter, where people were describing the same things you said and being like certain behaviors, oh, it's a red flag. And at that time, it became quite an important tool for especially like women or marginalized communities to use to identify unhealthy behavior patterns. And it, where that started to where it's come now, I think it's very different. Mm-hmm. So initially, like even when we look back in the 2000s and we think about dating, movies, and what they were trying to help us understand, you can see that a lot of unhealthy behavior patterns were unpacked in a way to help primarily women protect themselves. So it's like, is he, you know, for example, is he not giving you space to be able to open up? Is he pushing your boundaries? Is he, you know, being really hot and cold? Or is he showing like love bombing tendencies or things like that, certain behaviors? But I think now it's been taken a little bit to the other side, where it's not necessarily toxic behaviors or harmful behaviors, but more things that we're quick to just write off. So for example, if someone doesn't feel comfortable becoming a bit more emotionally vulnerable, but at the same time, it's been like you've gone on two dates, red flag. That doesn't make sense, right? Because humans are so nuanced. Like a person is just an accumulation of all their life experiences. So when they don't get that time to open up and truly show you how many things they've gone through, it can be very difficult to just, you know, shut that door right away. And especially for that person as well, we don't know whether they've experienced trauma, whether they've experienced rejection. We don't know what they've gone through. So to quickly judge someone and be like, oh, you're showcasing a red flag, it's kind of like slamming the door on their face.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious to also hear, like, why do you think that people feel the need to do that now?
To be honest, I feel like with how fast the world operates now, like even when we look at social media, it's kind of like you need to be very quick. You need to be punchy. You need to hold someone's attention. And sometimes it's the same in dating as well. Mm. We are trying to make quick connections. We're trying to get a partner as soon as we can. And that's like fast tracking the process.
Yeah.
And when that happens, then we tend to categorize people. So it's like, okay, this is a positive behavior. This is a negative behavior. This is good. This is bad. This person is inherently good, inherently bad.
Mm.
We can't decide that so quickly. We can't fast track the process of getting to know someone and connecting with them. That type of stuff takes time. It takes effort. It takes consistency. And it takes being vulnerable. Not every person is going to be perfect. But if we're trying to, you know, expedite that process, it's going to be like we're fitting people into categories and actually looking for the red flags, the green flags, the beige flags. That becomes part of that process. But what we don't understand, again, is that a person is nuanced.
Yeah.
We can't categorize like that.
Yeah. A person is nuanced, and also patterns are nuanced.
Yeah.
Something that can be seen as a red flag in one person might actually not be a red flag in another person.
Exactly.
And the context, I think, really matters, but you don't get to understand the context unless you give it the time that it needs. So I hear you on that. And I really appreciate what you said about how everyone's trying to fast track things now. I think that's so true, but I also think there is an element of people have been burned so many times. And I think we're in a day and age now where there is so much information online that people never had access to. So people's level of self-awareness is so much higher now than it ever used to be. And I almost feel like because it is and they know what they want out of someone, they start to have really high boundaries as a result of that. Whereas before they might have thought that everything that they were going through was just the way that it was supposed to be kind of thing.
That's so true. Yeah. Because that's also another thing. It's like the expectations people have as a result of social media as well. Like, you know, love should be like this. And, you know, this is what a relationship should look like. And there's this phrase that's going around nowadays where it's like, may a love like this never find me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, you know what? It kind of makes sense because sometimes it does help. Yeah. Sometimes it does help to be able to notice these behaviors. But at the same time, like a lot of social media culture has kind of like changed into using therapy talk within them as well. So it's like using labels like narcissist and, you know, like love bombing and all these types of things like that didn't exist before. So you're right. There is an overload of information, but I think it's taking away a lot from the actual thing of connecting with another person because nobody you're going to meet is going to be perfect. You're not perfect. But to have this almost idea or expectation that you're going to meet someone who is exactly made for you.
Yeah.
I feel like that sets the bar so high. And when, again, like you said, when you've gone through that process again and again, and been disappointed again and again, then you start, you know, being like, all right, I've had enough. If he shows me any hint of this or if she shows me any hint of this, it's done.
Yeah.
And then that's it. So I think it's really hard, like dating nowadays, like, you know,
it's hard.
There's a lot of pressure.
It's hard to date and it's hard to discern.
Yeah.
Because on the one hand, there's people whose boundaries are too high. And on the other hand, there's people whose boundaries are too low.
Yeah.
So how do you enter the gray area so that you're not closing yourself off from connection, but you're also not risking? I mean, this is doesn't make sense because you always risk being hurt. There's always a risk. You don't ever get to bypass that.
Yeah.
But no matter how aware you are of red flags, green flags, and whatever. So how would you suggest for people to stay in that gray area?
I think it is really difficult, but, you know, the first thing I always say is look inward.
Mm.
You have to look inward to actually figure out what it is you want, what it is you don't want, but not in a way where, again, you're labeling certain points, but it's like you open yourself up like, I want someone who's patient with me. I want someone who I'll be able to have difficult conversations with. I want someone, you know, who doesn't yell during arguments. Fair enough. Things like that, that they make sense. But at the same time, you have to also give yourself a limit on what you're willing to kind of go through.
Yeah.
So for example, if you're like someone you're dating who's really taking their time to open up, are you willing to sit with them through that uncomfortableness until they feel safe enough to open up to you? Or do you feel like you can't do that? The emotional connection is too important for you to be able to go through that process.
Yeah.
It's really just about understanding these little things and also recognizing that the same way you're human, the person standing opposite you is also human. They're going to have, you know, their darker sides. They're going to have their better sides. They're going to just be them. But are you willing to accept them for the entirety of who they are? And do you feel like they're accepting you for exactly who you are?
Mm.
So it's just asking yourself these type of questions and really understanding what it is you're looking for from this connection. What needs of yours do you want to be met? What are you okay compromising? What are you not okay compromising? It's just so important to really look deep, understand what you need and understand what you expect. And like, remember where your boundaries are as well. Because you don't want to be giving too much and you don't want to be self-sacrificing.
Yeah. This is where I find that people struggle the most. Because on the one hand, you have people that understand that relationships take work and no one is perfect and everyone is human.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, it's like, how much understanding do you have to give?
Mm-hmm.
And there's something that I once read that I feel is really, really helps to put things into perspective. It's not that you want to find somebody that has no baggage, because everybody's got baggage in some way. But you want to find someone whose baggage doesn't make your baggage heavier. Right? Because let's say, for example, the classic anxious avoidant pattern that you see in people, it's devastating on both.
Yeah.
On both people. It's devastating. The avoidant patterns make the anxious patterns more anxious.
Yeah.
And the anxious patterns makes the avoidant more avoidant. Now, of course, if you're two people who are willing to put in the work on your each of your sides, you can start coming towards a more secure attachment with each other. But there has to be the effort piece that you see, and you have to see that there's steps that are being taken in the right direction. So yeah, there's effort in the right direction. And then there's also, how can you choose someone who doesn't make your trauma worse?
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
It's a really difficult, you know, process to go through. Like, how do you vet someone without opening yourself up to the potential of being hurt, letting, you know, actual time run through the relationship so you can see that effort, you can see the action, you can see the consistency. And I read a really similar quote to you, but what this quote said, and it was the same, you know, analogy, which was with the baggage. When you find someone who you truly can move forward with, it's when you sit down to unpack your baggage together instead of tripping over it.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
So that really, it made a difference to me. And I think it's also important that you remember the pace, the natural pace of your relationship. You're not rushing towards intense connection right away. You're not looking for that fireworks and big bang and movie type of like love. And you realize that some of the best relationships, the foundation to them is a good friendship.
Yeah.
Just getting to know that person without that expectation that one day they're going to be your other half or anything. Just allowing yourself to fully understand the little details about that person and getting to know them over a good period of time before seeing, like,
is this the right person?
Is this the right person for me?
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that. And it's also hard to understand things like pacing and and maybe even things like friendship when you do have a lot of trauma that you're dealing with. So you and I both work with clients who are struggling with a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
And they always have these question marks of like, how much time is the right time? What are the green flags that I should be looking out for? And something else that I think is relevant to this conversation, which is, how can you tell what green flags are? You know?
Yeah.
So how do you suggest that people work through that?
That's it's a big mountain to climb.
Yeah.
It's like a massive barrier to being able to connect with people. Because when you have experiences that reaffirm the fact that not everybody has good intentions and not everybody is looking out for you the same way that you might be looking out for them, then you start doubting everything, including yourself. Because it's like, how do I keep ending up in these situations? Why am I always attracting the same type of people? Why am I going through the same experiences over and over again? And why can't I actually seem to make a move? But you have to understand that the effects of the trauma that you've been through are the ones that kind of have eroded the way maybe you see yourself and maybe the way you see others in relation to yourself. And it's so important to actually have awareness about that. You need to have awareness about what your triggers are. What are you not comfortable with? What have you done in the past? There's a lot of reflection that happens. You have to go back in order to move forward, which is really difficult sometimes when you're unpacking very, very painful situations. But it's in those moments that you recognize, okay, where did I sacrifice parts of myself here to make someone happy? And what parts of those will I not be okay doing again? Once you start realizing that, then you can really understand not only what happened, like, within yourself, but what type of dynamic was occurring between you and this other person.
Mm-hmm.
And again, once you recognize that, then moving on to future relationships, I think you would have a better idea of when someone is testing your boundaries. One of the biggest things when I met my partner that really stood out to me was not pushing back when I set a boundary. I was so used to people negotiating with me. Like, oh no, like, I know you don't want to, but how about just a little bit of this? Or how about just a little bit of that? With my partner, I was just like, no, please. And then he was just like, okay, cool. And I was like, wait, what? Like, this is a real thing. Like, you're not going to argue with me. You're not going to push back. And he was like, no, that's cool. I mean, yeah, if you don't feel comfortable, you don't feel comfortable. That's it. I respect that. And I was like my mind is blown. I was like, there are people like this in the world? So
that's really sweet.
Yeah, I think it was such a game changer, because that instantly made me trust that I could actually communicate honestly with him. I didn't need to pretend to be this version of myself in order for him to like me. Yeah. And with that, it opened up the space to then communicate without building resentment or bringing in past arguments and all of these things. Slowly, 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 they opened up the floor to actually recognize, okay, so these are the type of behaviors that I was looking for that I wasn't receiving.
Yeah.
Really complicated. And I think it can be really, really painful and difficult. But that's why you need someone to also support you through that process, whether it be a therapist, whether it is a potential like romantic partner or even a friendship. But you need to create those spaces for yourself to be able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. There's a lot of healing that can happen working with a therapist, but also just being in a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. So true. We've spoken about red flags and we've spoken about green flags. What do you think are the most commonly identified red flags and most commonly identified green flags? And where do you feel like the nuance is missing?
This is a really interesting question. Mm-hmm. So I think with red flags, it's like emotional withdrawal. I think that's a big one. I think it's also kind of like the love bombing tendencies and just too much too soon. I also feel like maybe a sense of control, showing that little bit of like possessiveness, jealousness, or you know, that type of thing early on in the relationship. So I feel like these three are quite big red flags that I've seen, themes, I guess. But on the other hand, with green flags, it can be someone who is not communicating in that sense, but kind of very like open, like right away. Like they're very open. They're very happy to share and all these things. That could be a green flag. Consistency. That's one. I think when we're looking at both of these things, the problem is that, for example, with the green flags, the consistency, early on in a relationship, you're excited to impress someone, you're excited to connect with them and meet with them. So that consistency might be there. As you go further on into getting to knowing each other, your schedules might get in the way or things might happen and, you know, life happens. And once that consistency dies down, it's like, oh, you know, you were like this in the beginning and then now it's changed. But you have to understand, again, it's just life. But when you look at the red flags, such as like the emotional withdrawal and all these things, it's really, again, about the pace of the relationship and where you're at. Some people just don't feel comfortable opening up right away. They'll hold back. But at the same time, if they are displaying traits such as like being very jealous, being very protective, being very much like claiming you in that sense, I think a part of you does have to wonder like, what's happened to make them this protective? And the thing with all of this, these type of traits, is that you have to sit down and actually just talk to them about it. Because sometimes, like you said, it might just be a trauma response. Maybe they got cheated on multiple times before and now, you know, even the slightest thing is enough to set them off. Yeah. And it's not your job to fix someone, but it definitely is worth opening up that conversation to allow them to kind of recognize, okay, what's going on here? I mean, we've been on one date, two date, that's fine. But now I'm seeing this type of behavior. Like, I just wanted to check in with you. Like, has something happened before that maybe we could talk about so I can understand you better? Mm-hmm. And then you can decide like whether it's worth moving forward in the relationship or not. But a conversation is always necessary. Like, you just don't know what someone has been through. And it's not necessarily your job to fix them. But if you're showing interest, it's worth exploring.
Totally, totally agree with you. And the way that I would sort of summarize what you've said is that the key thing here is not to find somebody who doesn't have red flags, but it's to find somebody who you're able to communicate about the red flags with, and someone who's open to working on the red flags with you.
Absolutely.
And I think it's that combination of communication and the willingness to try.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one is perfect, for sure. The more that we push people away because they exhibit signs of things that may hurt us.
Yeah.
I think the more lonely that people get, because the standard's so high.
Yeah.
It's so high. And I think that the kind of place that we're in now, especially with men, is that men are only just starting to realize that they need to open up their emotions and they need to work on their emotional intelligence and things like that. So you end up really kind of secluding yourself from a whole pool of people that you could actually make something work with.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really just that openness to build something with someone and recognizing that it takes time and it takes effort from both parties. But you're absolutely right. I think it's a whole new like ball game out there for men, because it's just like you have so much therapy talk on Instagram, so readily available for people to use. And when you're hearing some of these terms for the first time, you can be like, what? Like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But then you get defensive because it's like, oh, you're labeling me, you're putting me in a box. But I think there's this kind of like quote where it's just like connection without, it's like connection without compassion will lead you to being cold.
Yeah.
It completely,
there's no connection without compassion. Yeah.
Exactly. There's no like empathy. There's no type of way to bridge that gap between understandings. So you need to be open to all different types of people. But
would you say then a lack of compassion is a red flag that we could say is a non-negotiable?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because empathy, again, empathy is something that you are programmed to have from the beginning.
Yeah.
It's not something that you can kind of train someone to get more of.
Yeah.
You can definitely foster it, but if someone lacks empathy or lacks compassion from the get-go, I would definitely I would definitely be careful around them. Just that lack of insight.
Had to learn that the hard way.
Yeah.
This is where the intersection between understanding where it comes from, but also not knowing like where to draw the line on the understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I totally get that. But yeah, I would agree with you. A lack of compassion and empathy is one huge red flag that you can't argue on.
No.
You just can't argue on. And it doesn't mean that somebody who doesn't have it doesn't have the capacity to build it.
Yeah.
But if they're not working on building it when you meet them, it's not.
Exactly.
Yeah. A huge thing that is a red flag, that is a non-negotiable red flag, I don't think there's any nuance in it, is if somebody doesn't have their morals in the right place.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's something that you can communicate.
No. Nope.
It's not your job to try and change somebody's moral compass.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. Not worth working on with somebody. Yeah.
Definitely not. I feel like that's going to result in a lot of, you know, you getting hurt and you getting walked over.
100%.
There needs to be like some sort of baseline for values, for morals, for just, you know, ethics in their life.
Yeah.
That I feel like that's just being a decent human being, you know.
You have to
be careful.
Yeah.
Because some people are so good at masking that's where it becomes difficult when you're someone who's like sensitive, open, and ready to like have this intimate relationship with someone. People are very dangerous in that sense, that they can hide their true selves.
It's a performance.
For a long time to get what they want and then kind of just discard you or use you. But this is where that consistency comes in again. Even with their morals, even with their ethics and values, there should be some sort of consistency displayed in different situations and different experiences you have. And that's how you recognize that, okay, fine, this person is walking the
walk.
They
are who they say they are. Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I was going to say when you said they're really good at putting on a performance. In my personal experience, they're good at putting on a performance for you.
Yeah.
But you can always see whether their morals align with what they're saying that they are by the way that they react in different situations and with different people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
And consistency is key, genuinely. Like, someone can only pretend for so long before you can catch them out on stuff like this.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess there's different types of consistency then. Mm-hmm. Because you mentioned in the one hand that a lot of people will see consistency as a green flag, and then as soon as the communication starts dropping off or that like the amount of effort that's being put in has changed from the beginning of the relationship, that's not necessarily a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's another type of consistency that if you don't see it, it is a red flag.
Yeah.
So does it just apply in this sort of scenario with the morals, or do you think that it applies in different places as well?
Sorry, I didn't quite get what you meant.
So consistency as a broad sort of let's call it a trait.
Mm-hmm.
Consistency as a trait. You have consistency in effort,
mm-hmm.
consistency in morals.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see it anywhere else that you feel like it should be a non-negotiable?
I think consistency in repair.
Yeah.
That's a big one. Every relationship is bound to have arguments. Every relationship, you're bound to go through some disagreement or anything. But the key to understanding whether it's a healthy relationship or not is in the repair. How do they repair? Are they, you know, able to communicate even after a tough argument? You're taking time away. Are they able to come back and be like, are you okay? Are you all right? Like, how can I understand you better? How can I explain my part better to help you understand? All these little things. There needs to be consistency and repair. And one of the biggest things is not holding on to grudges, not bringing up past arguments. Are they able to let it go once it's done?
Yeah.
And when you're used to going through that turbulent type of time, any type of small argument can seem really big, but that's normal. You'll have arguments in every type of relationship, but what you won't have is the repair. And after each hurdle that you face together, has the support been consistent?
Yeah, that's so powerful. Repair is literally the most important thing that you can have in a relationship.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Yeah.
Amazing. So if there's someone who's watching this and maybe they're recognizing some of themselves in what we've been talking about and they're like, shit, I really have been holding on to my list of red flags and I'm really lonely. How do you advise them to start kind of putting down some of those boundaries and start opening themselves up to exploring connection?
I think the most important thing is don't live your life by a list. Allow yourself to explore different situations, but kind of prioritize which boundaries you really want to keep. They're complete non-negotiables and be okay with that. That's fine. You're allowed to have standards for yourself, but what you're not allowed to do is expect other people to meet those standards all the time in every single way.
Yeah.
So I think, you know the difference, know where to draw the line, be protective of yourself, but at the same time, also remember that you're going through a human experience. It's natural that you're going to get hurt or that you might have to try again, and that's fine too. But at the end of the day, just stand by what feels right for you and allow people to also show you different versions of themselves.
Yeah, love it. Thank you so much, Reshma. I think that was really, really insightful and a conversation that a lot of people need to hear. If people want to learn more from you and understand more about how you work and what you do, where can they find you?
Well, if anybody wants to learn more or just kind of understand how to navigate these situations better, then they can go to my Instagram page, which is Reshma at the Secure Method, and just give me a follow, send me a question, and I'll be more than happy to respond.
I really hope you got value out of this. If you feel comfortable sharing, please comment below. Let me know what your biggest takeaway is, and we'll see you in the next episode.